RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Analyst says President Joko Widodo needs to include more women in decision-making. DPR immediately calls Minister and National Intelligence Agency about China's labor. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo's administration should increase the number of women holding strategic decision-making positions in the government if Indonesia really applies meritocracy. This was affirmed by head of Policy Analysis Center of State Administrative Institute, Land, Erna Irawati, at an event on Wednesday. She said that the proportion of women in executive and legislative positions in Indonesia is still low compared to men. She also remarked that one of the reasons is because women are seen as having lower birth rates than men. This is not true. If the government really applies meritocracy, women, in fact, have a lot of potential to work professionally. According to National Civil Service Agency data, in 2016, women only accounted for 27% of Echelon 1 officials in government entities. Member of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives, DPR, Bobby Rizaldi, said that Commission will ask clarification from Minister of Communication and Informatics, Rudiantara, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, and Head of State Intelligence Agency, Budi Gunawan, related to the information of the rise of foreign labor from China who come to Indonesia. Bobby Rizaldi also said in Jakarta on Wednesday that if there is impact, the Commission will take a stance related to the Indonesian national defense. He also remarked that Commission of the House does not take a stand yet about the problem because it cites the validity of the information. Indonesian Ambassador to Italy, August Farenkuan, received the 34th edition of Premio Internazionale Fontaine Award from Accademia Internazionale Sponda in Rome, Italy. Information Social and Cultural Councillor of Indonesian Embassy in Rome, Charles Hutapea, to Antara London, said on Tuesday the President La Sponda, Benito Cardini, assessed that Ambassador August Farenkuan has had commitment to develop better relations of Indonesia-Italia, especially through exchange of art and culture. The award was handed over in the event which was held at Teatro de' Servi at the center of all city of Rome, which was attended by a number of Italian artists. Besides Ambassador August Farenkuan is fit as a professional figure in carrying out his major role to promote Italian-Indonesian bilateral relations in the political and economic sectors. Bank Indonesia and BIS says that the increase of Indonesian economic prospect to become positive and worse for investment rating for international Fitch rating shows the world confidence on domestic economy. Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo said in Jakarta on Wednesday that based on the assessment, Indonesia needs to keep stability of economy, micro and sustaining structural reforms as well as more synergy among agencies. He also said that the assessment by the Fitch cannot be separated from the effort which has been carried out so far to keep stability, for instance, suitable with economic fundamental of Indonesia. Besides protecting stability of foreign exchange, Fitch's assessment was also based on the current account deficit that continues to be healthy level and the amount of Indonesian foreign reserve is sufficient. Indonesia also sustained economic resilience to ensure the readiness of various instruments, including the second instrument, either coming from bilateral, regional, or global factors. Indonesia's National Police Polri keep increasing their capability to counter the spread of insider and terrorism action in Indonesia. Terrorism ideology must be overcome soon by involving religious organization elements. This was stated by social observer Wahid Foundation Alamsyah in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Penindakannya adalah tugas polis pemerintah.
Counter-terrorism is done by the police, the government through state apparatus, but the eradication of ideology must impact all parties, including people and religious organizations. Without the major role of the people, the terrorism ideology can grow. Our duty is to ensure not to let the ideology terrorism be supported by many parties, so the ideology can grow slower and finally it can be overcome. Moreover, Alamsyah also said that terrorism issue is a global phenomenon in many countries. Thus, Alamsyah remarked that to counter terrorism, it must be done with other countries in the world to overcome the terrorism embryo to grow in many countries. The government has set a higher target for tourist arrivals from China next year, despite political and immigration issues that might hinder the plans. Indonesian tourism minister says it hopes to attract 2.4 million. China's tourists from Greater China, which includes Taiwan and Hong Kong, in 2017, higher than the 2.1 million tourists this year. The effort has been undertaken following the positive trend of visit this year, in which China sits as the top contributor of foreign tourist arrivals this year. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya shrugged off political concerns, which include mass protests, many of which have had an element of anti-China sentiment, as well as the visa-free policy for China's tourists that has reportedly been misused by China's workers. Public concern have mounted recently about the visa-free policy, particularly for the Chinese tourists, as data from the Directorate General of Immigration revealed that most tourists found to have violated the policy are of China's nationality. The last item. Indonesia has become the world's leading halal tourism destination for foreign tourists. Super-optimal service of tourism had been given by Indonesian government for foreign tourists who came to tourism destination in Indonesia. This was stated by Chief Executive Official of International Travel Week Abu Dhabi, Andik Buchanan, on press conference of year-end 2016 at Indonesian Tourism Ministry in Jakarta on Tuesday.
For all in the international tourism community is that Indonesia is the world's leading halal tourism destination. I can say this with some conviction because not only does Indonesia have the tourism product to achieve this status, but also a government and tourism ministry who have the coordinated vision to not only identify but capitalize on the valuable and long-term socioeconomic benefit that's succeeding in the booming halal tourism.
Meanwhile, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said that the development of Indonesian tourism during 2016 has been on the right track. He convinced that the target of 12 million foreign tourist visits to Indonesia until the end of 2016 will be achieved. He also targeted that 15 million foreign tourists will visit Indonesia in 2017. That's news of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled Terror Occurs Again. Act of terrorism occurs again. Yesterday, Special Team of Anti-Terrorism Detachment 88 Headquarters of Indonesian Police found live bomb at a house in South Tangerang. In addition to the three bombs that had been found, the police also found bomb-making equipment. According to the plan, the bomb would be detonated at the police station in Serpong area ahead of the Christmas and New Year. Jakarta Police Chief Inspector General Muhammad Iryawan said that the bomb squad had managed to detonate the homemade bombs. Four suspected terrorists had been also paralyzed, three of whom were killed in the raid. Inspector General Muhammad Iryawan stated information related to the terrorist activity in South Tangerang is known from the suspect involved in the bombings in Bekasi last week. On the same day, the special anti-terror also catch suspected members of terrorist networks in Sibiru-Biru sub-district Deli Serdang Regency, North Sumatra. Additionally, the detachment 88 also arrested suspected terrorists in Payakumbu, West Sumatra, who held by bond materials related to the terror acts. The police are still investigating the bombs. President Joko Widodo appreciated rapid action of Detachment 88 and all police personnel in regard to the discovery of the light bomb in South Tangerang. He also called on the public to improve awareness and participation effort to combat against terrorism. President views that the act of terrorism, which becomes common enemy, occurred not only in Indonesia, but also in some countries in the world. In relation with the discovery of light bomb in South Tangerang, the government should raise awareness because the discovery of the bomb is almost simultaneous only in Indonesia. Not only in Indonesia, but also in Turkey, Germany, and several other countries. It is possible that the suspected terrorists in South Tangerang have links with international terrorist networks. There must be also be intensive interagency coordination. This is necessary to prevent terrorism. The tragedy in regard to terrorism is a good lesson to anticipate. Alertness should be fully and constantly improved for incident of standby want. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, it's nice to meet you again in our daily program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, we begin our program with an event that happened on December 22, 1928. The first Indonesian Women Congress was held in Jakarta. The history of Indonesia Mother's Day, which is celebrated every 22nd December, began from gathering various women's organizations. In Women's Congress, which was held on 22nd until 25th December 1928 in Jakarta, the Congress was attended by around 30 organizations of women from 12 cities in Java and Sumatra Island. One of the results of the Congress was the establishment of Women's Congress, or well-known Indonesian Women Congress. The Congress indicates that the awareness will be universalization of the role of women. This means that women should be aware to play a major role not only in the household. 22nd December is decided as a Mother's Day in the 3rd Indonesian Women Congress in 1938. President Sukarno officially decided 22nd December as a Mother's Day through Presidential Decree No. 316-1959 and celebrates nationally until today. The next event was in 1948 when Safruddin Prawiranegara led the emergency government of Republic of Indonesia in West Sumatra. The Emergency Government of Republic of Indonesia was government administration of Republic of Indonesia on the period of 22nd December 1948 until 13 July 1949, led by Safruddin Prawiranegara. Before becoming Indonesia leader at the time, Soekarno and Hatta were arrested by the Dutch on 19 December 1948. They held meeting and gave mandatory to Safruddin Prawiranegara to establish the emergency government. Not long time after capital city of Republic of Indonesia in Yogyakarta was controlled by the Dutch in the second military aggression of the Dutch, they repeatedly broadcasted news that Republic of Indonesia has dismissed. Because their leaders Soekarno, Hatta and Sahrir have surrendered. Listening to the news that the Dutch forces has occupied Yogyakarta and arrested most of the leaders of the government of Indonesia, on 19th December in the evening, Mr. Safruddin Prawiranegara, together with Colonel Hidayat, Commander of Army and 33 of Sumatra, visited Mr. Teuku Muhammad Hasan, Governor of Sumatra at his regency, to hold negotiations. At the night, they left Bukit Tinggi to Halaban area of tea plantation. A number of figures and the public who were in West Sumatra gathered in Halaban, and 22nd December 1948, they held a meeting which was attended by Mr. Safruddin Prawiranegara, Mr. Hasan, and Mr. Latif. Although officially news of President Sukarno was not received yet on 22nd December 1948, suitable with the concept which has been preferred, In the meeting was decided to establish the emergency governor Republic of Indonesia, and Mr. Saprudin Prawiranegara was acting as chairman and also Minister of Defense and Minister of Information, Minister of Foreign Affairs and Interior. On July 13, 1949, the first session of the cabinet was held. And the last event was about the anniversary of Women's Army Corps. The establishment of Women's Army Corps was inspired by the result of the struggle of Indonesian women heroes who participated in upholding the independence of Indonesia and its predecessor efforts to achieve progress for women. For that 19th, in 1959, the third assistant of chairman of Army Staff Colonel, Dr. Sumarno, delivered his idea about using military power of women for the fields of certain assignment which needed thoroughness, preference, patience, and maternal traits that became the nature of women to better achieve organizational affiliation. As a realization, the establishment of Corps was issued decree on 21st December 1960 and established Women's Army Corps. Although the Corps was legalized on 21st December 1960, the anniversary of Women's Army Corps was decided on 22nd December. The decision was aimed because the first Women's Congress was held on 22nd December 1938. The establishment of Women's Army Corps is hoped to be able to become the pride of mothers. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listeners. Nice to see you again in our program. Focus over Arrival Service, Voice of Indonesia. The theme of today's focus is Rio catching up its tardiness. Currently in Rio, there are many workers who have good competence without certification. This fact is alarming Rio provincial government, especially in the era of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. Rio is catching up its tardiness despite the AEC has been going on. This is expressed by Governor of Rio, Arsya Juliandi Rahman, in Pekanbaru Riau on last Friday night. On the occasion, he said that to catch up the tardiness, an institution is obliged to create a competent workforce of Riau in certain fields and have certification. So this has a competitive edge both domestically and internationally. To create a competent workforce with certificate, Riau government establishes a coordinating board for professional certification, called locally PKSP, consisting of a number of provincial officials, academicians, and organizations such as Apindo, KPNC, and Chamber of Commerce, and other organizations headed by Iwat Andri. Admittedly, Riau Province is tardy to establish the Coordinating Board for Professional Certification, PKSP, but this is a challenge for the managers of the PKSP to catch up. Governor Rahman expect that BKSP can vote harder because the establishment of this agency has been a discourse since 10 years ago. With the presence of the Coordinating Board for Professional Certification, every worker gets enough assistance. In addition, the guidance will also be provided to the students and vocational students. If they are graduated, they are of course very competent in their fields and they are expected to complete the certification. This makes it easy for the graduates to enter the workforce and compete with workers from other regions and countries. Service Head of Manpower, Transmigration and Population of Riau Province, Rashidin, who is also a member of Coordinating Board for Professional Certification, urged the Professional Certification Institute LSP to coordinate with BKSP. If not, BKSP encourages the establishment of another profession certification agency and preparation competency test sites. Ultimately, the younger generation of Rio with good working age are able to compete in the performance and profession because they had been certified. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Hear news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo's administration should increase the number of women holding strategic decision-making positions in the government if Indonesia really applies meritocracy. This was affirmed by head of the Policy Analysis Center of State Administration Institute LAND, Erna Irawati, an event on Wednesday. Member of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives DPR, Bobby Rizaldi, said that Commission 1 will ask clarification from Minister of Communication and Informatics, Rudiantara, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, and Head of State Intelligence Agency, Budi Gunawan, related to the information of the rise of foreign labor from China who come to Indonesia. Indonesian Ambassador to Italy, August Faringkuan, received the 34th edition of Premio Internazionale Fontana Award from Accademia Internazionale La Sponta in Rome, Italy. Information Social and Cultural Council of Indonesian Embassy in Rome, Charles Hutapea, Tuantara, London, said on Tuesday that President La Fonta, Benito Caradini, assessed that Ambassador August Faringkuan has high commitment to develop cooperation between Indonesia and Italy, especially through exchange of art and culture. Bank Indonesia assessed that the increase in Indonesian economic prospect to become positive and worse for the investment rating from the international Fitch rating shows the world confidence on domestic economy. Indonesian National Police Polri keep increasing their capability to counter the spread of incident and terrorism action in Indonesia. The government has set a higher target for tourist arrivals from China next year despite political immigration issues that might hinder the plans. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to West Java. Stay tuned. Listener, Pelabuhan Ratu is the capital of Sukabumi Regency. It is located on the coast of the Indian Ocean. Pelabuhan Ratu became one of the favorite tourism destinations in West Java. The city has a number of attractions that are divided into three categories, namely natural tourism, sport tourism, and religious tourism. However, most travelers come to enjoy the Pelabuhan Ratu natural attractions, especially the beautiful beaches. This time, we invite you to see the beauty of Chitepus Beach. The location is in the Chitepus Village, Pelabuhan Ratu Sub-District. Listener, to get to the Chitepus Beach, so far from the city center, it can be reached approximately 3 kilometers. The journey from Jakarta takes about 7 to 8 hours using land transportation. Chitepus Beach location is quite strategic because it lies on the edge of the highway. To get into this tourism area, you just pay 30,000 rupiah for a ticket of car parking. Arriving on its shores, you will be amazed with the natural beauty of Chitepus. Chitepus Beach is about 3 to 5 kilometers long. A bed of sand is quite spacious, with a sloping shape of surface. The water is clear, with big enough waves. In addition to a dazzling panorama, Chitapu's beach has a pretty good level of cleanliness. There are no garbages scattered on the beach or sinking away by the waves. Listener, there are many interesting activities on the beach. You can swim or playing on the water as much. You can also relax on the soft sand. For those who like fishing, in other part of the beach, there is a special spot for fishing. In the evening, you can see the beauty of the sunset. Moreover, because of beautiful panorama of the sunset, the beach has become one of the destinations of couples who want to do honeymoon. Listener, Chitapu's beach is equipped with various facilities. There are lodging, public toilets, restaurants, and souvenir peddlers. Lodging in Chitapu's is located around the beach. With only 200,000 rupiah per night, you can stay comfortably. For dining, there are available lesser hand concept or restaurant concepts with a seafood menu offerings. Interestingly, the restaurants have a direct view to the beach. The Chitapu's beach also has been equipped by mausola, garden, and jogging track. With a jogging track, you can also run around the Chitapu's beach while enjoying its beauty. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Chitapu's Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to today's edition of Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about the National Mother's Day. Stay tuned. Mother's Day is commemorated on December 22nd every year. The day is an effort for Indonesian people to memorize and appreciate Indonesian women's struggle to gain independence. In Indonesia, Mother's Day is commemorated on December 22nd. It has been officially declared by President Sukarno under the Presidential Decree No. 316 in 1953 on the 25th Women Congress in 1928. The date is chosen to celebrate Indonesian woman's spirit and elevate the people's nationality. On this date, Indonesia also reflected the existence of Indonesian women. The celebration of Women's Day in Indonesia is usually done by freeing all mothers from their domestic and daily work such as cooking, taking care of their children, and other houseworks. Besides, some people also express their love on Mother's Day by giving flowers or gifts. On the 88-2016 Mother's Day commemoration, taking the theme of gender equality to achieve Indonesia free of violence against women and children, people trafficking, and economic access equality to women,
The team is built by looking at the situation and condition of Indonesian nation in 2016 and adjusted with the policy of women and children protection as one of the national development agendas. There are many successes that have been created by Indonesian women until nowadays. However, women and children are still the most fragile community members that are prone to violence, exploitation, and other discrimination. The peak of the event in commemorating the Mother's Day will be held in Serang, Banten Province. Like many years before, there are a series of events to commemorate the Mother's Day. The Women Empowerment and Child Protection Ministry held seminar, exhibitions, social activities, fun walks, flag hoisting ceremony, and other activities. The exhibition was held from November 30 to December 4, 2016. The activities then continued with social activity of IVA test in Women Prison in Tangerang on December 6. The event also held skill training programs such as packing, sewing, wheelchair aid for disabled. The seminar was held on December 15 by presenting one of figure that support gender equality among others, Deputy of Gender Equality Heru Prasetyo Kasidi, Professor Aju Mardi Azra, Director of UIN Syarif Hidayatullah Jakarta, Psychologist Rati Ibrahim and former Women Empowerment and Child Protection Minister Linda Gumelar. The ministry also held a national meeting on December 21, 2016, entitled Pioneer Woman, and handed over Parahita Eka Praya Award to the woman at the State Palace, Jakarta. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Mother's Day. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Mayang Sari. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tiada Lagi by Mayang Sari. Happy listening.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Sampai kapan lagi ku harus kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Oh, kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Tiada lagi yang ku harapkan, tiada lagi yang ku impikan. Biar aku sendiri tanpa dirimu. Tiada lagi kata cinta.
Listener, the song entitled Tiada Lagi has successfully catapulted the popularity of Mayang Sari. This song was the second production of the first album produced around 90s. Since this second production, Mayang Sari's reputation began to be taken into account in the Indonesian music industry. The beautiful singer who was born in Purwokerto on August 23, 1974, in addition to singing, she is also good at sinden or Javanese rendition of the song. Her talent was obtained from her father, who works as a puppeteer, and mother as a famous sinden. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Selamat Malam Cinta by Mayang Sari. Happy listening.
Thank you.
sedang bermimpi. Maaf baru saja ku usik tidurmu. Malam-malam panjang lewat pengorbanan. Manis kau tersenyum di dalam tidurmu.
Listener, after she got married, Mayang's activities in singing began to fade. The singer has busy to take care of her family business, while singing activities only carried out for some important and special events. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Harus Malam Ini and Rasa Cintaku by Mayang Sari. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Rasakan sendiri begitu cepat malam berlalu. Tak mungkin ku tahan lajunya jalan sang
Cinta di dalam hatimu.
Radio Republik of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Jangan ada
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.